This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
This is the Eric Lee Show on WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Inspirational. Lift us back up. Lift the Illini Nation back up. Eric Lee Show, Richlands, Courtney Carson, downtown Decatur. Courtney and Dom are downtown Decatur. I'm bubbled. Quarantine time. Hopefully I can come back next week into the old office and see everybody in person. We get a chance to go inside the locker room courtesy of Brinkotter Realtors on this conversation. Back to the Kansas City Barbecue Pit Hotlines with Herald Interviews. Joey Wagner. Joey, last night, fun game. You know, a lot of excitement leading up to it. Was it, I don't know, do you contribute this to anything, or is it just getting outplayed in the second half?
Getting outplayed. I mean, look, that Baylor team looks really, really good. I mean, it was the number two team in the country. That team looked like the team that won 23 straight games last year that was going to be the number one or a number one seed in the NCAA tournament. They added some transfers. They brought back four starters. But it was a veteran group of guards who just knew how to get it done. And the defense is just a buzzsaw. I mean, they don't care who they're playing. They are just a tough, tough defensive team. The guards switched everything, made life just really, really tough for those Illinois guards. I mean, Illinois hung with a really good team that, frankly, Eric, could be the number one team in the country by the time these next polls come out. We'll see what happens Saturday against Gonzaga.
Yeah, but Baylor plays Gonzaga, right, man.
That game kind of felt, especially, you know, Io was really, really confident going into it. They all were. I mean, but we spoke with Io. That was kind of supposed to be the coronation of, hey, we're back, right? I mean, this is, Illinois basketball is back. We've been kind of down for a little bit, and we got all these guys. And, it's not like people look at Illinois now and say, oh, boy, we're a little too far ahead of ourselves. That's not the case, but it just wasn't quite that firework, I think, that they wanted to set off there in Indianapolis.
You know, I'll call it a legacy game coming in. And what'd you get out of Underwood afterwards?
He said, listen, I mean, the first half was they got for loose balls, they got offensive rebounds, and really, I mean, Georgie Bashash really pulled Illinois by the ear to get to halftime in any close game. He threw the time back a couple of years. But that second half, Baylor just dominated him on the glass on 50-50 balls. And if you listen to Brad Underwood talk since he's been in Champaign, it's 50-50 balls, it's diving on the floor, it's all those little things that I think, Eric, you and I probably hear it and think, okay, yeah, everybody says this. But it really matters.
Coach speaking, yeah.
And he said, we're not going to – we have to find a way to beat teams when we're not shooting the ball well. Iowa was 6 of 18, Adam Miller 2 of 11. That's not really what you would have expected out of those two guys going into that. Certainly not if you thought Illinois was going to win. So it's a lot of those things. But if you look at this, Eric, I don't see when you look at this roster like you had in years past and the way it's constructed and say, well, boy, I don't know what they can turn around to fix some of those problems. The problems are fixable. Offensive rebounding, you can fix that thing. You know the shot's going to fall at some point. I think a legitimate concern is the pick and roll defense. I think Kofi's been exposed in a couple games, and really, I mean, it's a two-way street with the guards as well. It happened in Ohio. It happened against Ohio, rather. It happened here. It's a little disheartening to see, especially with the pretty veteran group. But again, these are things that can be fixed. This isn't a burn it all down loss.
No.
It's just not the expectation.
Well, one half of basketball. It's not even 40. Bad minutes necessarily.
And it's a fourth
if I told
season
you.
Too. That's a caveat. I mean, weird things happen in the beginning of the seasons, and four games in, you wouldn't expect Illinois, and certainly the scarier part is you probably don't expect Baylor to be at, you certainly don't expect Baylor to be at its best either. There's a lot of season left. I mean, these early season games are fun, and you know, especially for Illinois, that really it's been 16 years since a top five matchup like that. That
yeah.
You know, people would have stayed up until 3 a.m. if they had to watch that game. And that's fun. The excitement is there, but really, that's going to be a different game. I don't know if the outcome will be different, but the game itself would be different if they met in March.
So I was kind of asked about it today, and I said, okay, we all obviously wanted Illinois to just be unstoppable out of the gate, but that's not how it works. I mean, there's a freshman in the starting lineup. There's a very important freshman coming off the bench, and Curbelo. There's new players all over the place with this team, Grandison, Hawkins, and just getting to know these new connections with some of these guys. So traditionally, you wouldn't expect them to come in, any team to come in and dominate a number two team in the country who's been in the top five for, you know, longer than you have been. They're used to being up there. So I guess at least we owe Baylor something if we were to run into them again, you know, and you know, maybe you've got that that underdog feeling when you run into them again. And you know what? Maybe there could be good out of this. I don't know if there's necessarily good on the court. You look at Georgie and feel pretty good. I think Curbelo played okay. But, you know, maybe it's just good to get your butt kicked in once in a while. I don't know. Can we embrace that?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I don't know, they got their butts kicked in.
It's just good to lose once in a while, maybe. You know, I hate undefeated stretches. I hate having that in basketball. I don't think it's a big of a deal in football, but I just hate having that on the shoulders, too. People are talking about being unbeaten. It's just an unnecessary thing. Now, never are you rooting to lose. Never, ever, ever. But once you do lose, I mean, maybe it's like, okay, well, maybe, you know, if Illinois doesn't lose to Ohio State, in 2005, I do not think they beat Arizona. You know, the sting of losing a game, you know, you don't want to go through that again. I'm not saying they're going to go unbeaten from here on out, but maybe they were getting a little comfortable. Maybe they were getting, you know, to be thinking maybe they're the best team in the country and we're going to go win the whole thing. So maybe, you know, hopefully some good came out of this, I guess. And you know, it's not what you wanted necessarily, but hopefully we get to that point. I mean, adults see it. Underwood sees it, right? This is just a whole other set of kids that got to learn the same lesson that kids learn every year.
Yeah, I mean, it's a process. And quickly, I mean, I think some of the perception of this game might be skewed a little bit just because it happens in such a similar time in the schedule where the day before, 2 days before, everyone said, well, 16 years ago was Wake Forest. And everybody kind of got that, oh, my gosh, you remember Wake Forest. And it's just, it's a different situation, obviously, this year. But to your point, yeah, I mean, there's three guys. Really, I didn't know that it was going to be three this early. But when Brad went to the bench in that first substitution, he brought in Curbelo, he brought in Coleman Hawkins, and all of a sudden you had three freshmen out there on the floor against the number two team in the country. And Brad has been, you know, pretty open about how much he likes his freshman class. But when it came time to show it, he showed it. And he had three guys out there in their fourth college game playing against one of the best defensive teams, one of the best teams in the country. So it's going to take time for those guys. And that, to me, said an awful lot about what he believes the impact of those three can be this year. And Curbelo is just opening eyes with literally every single game. I mean, I thought he was good at the end of Chicago State. But, man, he's going to shoehorn his way into some more minutes sooner rather than later, I have to think.
Making sure – I definitely felt like that, too, that Underwood wants to make sure everybody gets the experience in these big-time games. And that takes a little more precedence over having the best lineup – on the floor at all times right now, because that's different ways for coaches to do it. I mean, could you have stayed with, you know, he wanted to get experience for these guys, and you have to constantly keep working through the rotations because that's the only way you're going to find out. You might find some special rotation in there, a couple guys that really click really well. I mean, you have to put the time in and run them through it, and you even have to do it in the games where you're losing in the second half.
Yeah, and you know, I would have liked to think that he got most of that out of his system in that MTE. And I think what we're seeing is the rotations very much. You know, Adam Miller is in the starting lineup. He should be. The dude can get a bucket outside of last night, really, whenever he wants. But the fact that, you know, I wasn't surprised to see Curbelo off the bench. I think he had done enough. He, He's been good in practice. To see Hawkins that early was really, really surprising and really, really telling. But, yeah, I mean, you got to figure out how those all work together. Where does Grandison work in this mix? You know, Benjamin Boston's Verdonk dressed. He didn't play. He has, you know, he hasn't really been – we haven't seen him yet because of foot issue. So some time to work through that. You know, I'd like to think that Saturday is also going to be that game where Brad Tinker, you know, messes with Linus. I think Madsen's going to be a particularly close game, but I thought that going into Ohio, so what do I know?
Sure.
But, yeah, man, I mean, the freshman really, really caught my eye just in terms of how they played and really when and how much.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is the last – I don't, you know, like you said, you don't want to just give it away because Ohio almost beat them. But this is the last tinkerable opportunity against a significantly lower tier opponent, I guess. Tennessee Martin.
Yeah,
because it's at Duke, it's at Missouri. Is that right?
Their head coach died less than a month ago.
Wow, really I must have missed that story.
They've got a lot that they're working through. I think they may have just opened their season last night, but you know, you hate to put it like this, it's still a game you'd expect Illinois to win pretty handily. But you're right. Then you get Duke. Then you get a Missouri team that's their two games looks, you know, not quite like a. I don't want to call it a cupcake because it never is against Missouri, but it looks like a much more challenging game the more we see of Missouri on the court.
Yeah, they beat Oregon last night. That's a pretty big deal.
And Jeremiah Tillman. Seems to be, from what I'm reading, he's starting to put it together and looking like the player. He's been good. It's just been, you know, inconsistent stretches, I guess. So just another layer, right? And then, by the way, you're done with those guys. Well, welcome to the Big Ten. And that's going to be tough as nails.
Yeah. And Mark Smith with 15 last night against Oregon. Tillman with 11. So 9 rebounds. So get ready to boo those guys from home. Illini Nation. Some of the guys that they booed in person, then lost to, and Javon Pickett there as well. So,
yep.
But we got a couple games to watch before that. Should I don't know. Illini fan shouldn't be disappointed. You wanted to win the game, but our excitement shouldn't be tamed down any further, right, Joey? We should still be looking forward to what's going to be one heck of a fun season.
Yeah. Look, again, you're going to look up.
I tell you what I was afraid of. Before you answer that, Joey, I was afraid of if they win this game, they're going to be favored at Duke since Michigan State just won at Duke. Like, if not favored, it was going to be like a 1 or 2 point spread. So now Duke will probably be like a 4 or 5 point favorite somewhere in there. I was like, boy, are we really ready to be favored at Duke or at least within the ballpark of a pick 'em? So, I mean, that is one thing that, you know, maybe is going to come out of this. It'll be good.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that any excitement that should have been should suddenly fall on its face. I mean, that was a game that would have sent things through the stratosphere, right? I mean, had Illinois won that, it would have been – I mean, first of all, I think fans would have carried the team bus from Indianapolis to Champaign celebration. But, no, yeah, this team is – it just seemed too much. There are some things that need to be ironed out. Again, that the pick-and-roll defense is concerning. Yeah. Kofi's got to be better. Io has to be better than he was last night, but we've seen enough to know that he absolutely will be. Adam Miller will be. Kofi will be. But, again, it's 4 games in. This team is going to be fine. It's going to be one of those where all of a sudden it's February, and I don't know if this team's going to drop out of the rankings at any point, right? I mean, they've got it all there, regardless of what happens.
Well, if they do, it went significantly worse than we ever expected. Hey, let me just ask you this.
They're really off the rails.
Is there even more than a 1% chance Io would come back next year? Or do you think it's a 100%er?
I mean, I think we were all surprised to see him back this year. And without pandemic, then I don't know that he comes back. Mm-hmm. And for so many reasons, the first being without the pandemic, he gets marked. And I think we've seen enough of Io to know that this probably would have been that run that, and just probably maybe it's not fair to make this comparison, but that run that Kimball Walker led UConn through, where it's just like the end of games and Kimba is just going absolutely.
I don't think that's crazy. They went on to win the national title, but Io was
on that level. But it would have been a similar feeling, and every NBA scout's ears perk up when a player goes on a marked run like that, right?
Absolutely.
And Iyo has that kind of in his DNA. And then he's a kid who would have impressed at the combine. He would have done all those things with the face-to-face. He's just an impressive, impressive person. None of that happened. So, I was shocked this year. I would be a really, really, really shocked next year.
I just want to make sure we're on the same page of that, because I was asked about that, and I was like, I don't think there's any chance. Where do you think Kofi is? Is he more than 50 to go, you think? It just depends on the year.
Yeah, it depends on the year. I mean, I don't know that anything in these first four games has had an NBA GM say, hey, that's our guy. I mean,
but they look at the size of the guy.
You look at the size, and look, Kofi is going to go, he'll be just fine. He's going to round himself into form. We've seen him do it. Remember, it took him a little bit, you know, especially when the games started to get tough last year. It took him a little bit to adjust. He did, and he was unbelievably good at the end of the last season. So I don't know. He's a harder one to read just because the NBA is, are they really looking for – but I guess, again, you look at the draft, and you saw some kind of throwback bigs go in the NBA draft just recently, and that's certainly how I would describe Kofi. So we'll see. I'm really curious to see what that year looks like for him.
Absolutely. Just wanted to ask you and get that out there. I think we're probably on the same page. So appreciate the time, Joey. We'll talk to you next week. Illinois football against Iowa this weekend, too. Are you going to that?
Yeah, doubleheader on Saturday.
Have fun over there. We look forward to talking to you next week.
Oh, man, appreciate you.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.